I think that when Christians today talk about, it can make us sound foolish, like modern-day chicken littles dressed up in borrowed prophets' robes. I think it was easy to snicker last year at the church in California that had predicted a May 21st date for the end of the world, which came without a whimper. And so in the progressive church, we tend to not talk about the end of the world because the world isn't coming to an end. Right? Maybe. I think that people are honestly afraid that the world as we know it is coming to an end, but not because of God or the Bible or even some Mayan calendar set to roll over like a cosmic odometer hitting 100,000. No, I think that people are honestly afraid that the world is coming to an end because of pure, hard, unforgiving facts. Too many looking for too much from too little. I think it is a commonplace belief that people simply don't share with one another, that they are afraid that there is a terrible day of reckoning approaching, that as a human family, we are careening towards a cliff of unsustainability, some tipping point that once passed will mean tragedy and suffering on a global scale stretching generations. Now, the reasons aren't hard to name. I think that the fear is out there that because of the way that we generate and consume energy, the earth that we give to our children will be far less hospitable to human life than it is today. Greenhouse gas emissions per person are going up, not down. And because of rising temperatures, the ice at the globe's poles may be gone completely during our children's lifetimes, melted and poured into oceans that have nowhere else to go but up. Oceans encroaching onto the land so that the very shape of our continents will be redrawn with wave. With hotter weather comes more extreme weather fluctuations. Summer, which is so critical for crop growth. Summer could become dominated by extreme weather, with destructive storms washing away some crops in a flood while other crops wither under season-long drought. Here in America, we have watched this summer's almost nationwide drought, and it has stoked our fear. What kind of world are we baptizing our children into? Will they be able to live a better life than our own? Or will our children look with envy or perhaps resentment at the way that we live? I think that the fear is out there that the people are afraid that the earth will become less able to support human life just as human population pressures reach levels unthinkable just one century ago. There are 7 billion human beings alive today, and with more people looking to have a standard of living similar to our own, it is harder and harder to provide for them those things that make for a good life: clean, safe drinking water, healthy food, an unspoiled environment. As a human family, we already do not provide these things for our 7 billion brothers and sisters. But in the lifetime of our children, the children we baptized today, there will likely be 10 billion souls living on this planet, which may be less able to produce food and water than it is today. What kind of world are we baptizing our children into? Is it one of scarcity and starvation and thirst, where everyone who gets enough does so only because another must go without? As Christians, what are we supposed to think about the future? As Christians, what are we supposed to do about the future? For me, the first and most critical response is to remember that I believe in God and that God is good. God has made promises about what will be the ultimate fate of the world. And even if what I read in the newspaper doesn't seem to point toward a restored creation where the last will be first and peace will be a permanent estate,
even if that doesn't seem to be where the signs of the times are pointing. I still have hope, because my hope rests on a foundation of God's goodness. As Christians, faith in God allows us to be radically hopeful people. People who can work our tails off for what might seem to be a lost cause. And I think that it is ironic. It is ironic that the parts of our faith tradition that give us the resources needed to be a voice for hope in the world today, the stories that give us what we need, are the stories of the end of the world. Because one thing that we know as a people who read the Bible and take it seriously is that humanity has been afraid that the world is coming to an end for a long, long, long time. We heard Todd Crony read us the story of the end of the world as told in the Gospel of Matthew, and the story went like this. Jesus spoke to his followers just before he would be arrested, telling them secrets. Secrets about the trials that they would have to face. He told them that the temple would be destroyed, leveled, so that there would not be one stone left on top of another. And that there would be terrible quarrels among the people, fighting within the family of faith, great strife among the nations, storms and earthquakes, so that it would seem that the very earth itself were turning against them and coming apart. But Jesus told them not to give up, not to despair. Because just when things reached their worst, just when the storms of change would seem to be about to bring the end of the world down on top of their heads, he said, I will be with you. I will be among you like the lightning flashing from the east and going to the west. I will be among you as if I were riding on the clouds of heaven. That they would be preserved. God would see them through the trials. Not unchanged, but delivered. That's how Jesus tells the story of the end of the world. And the funny thing is, that's just how the story of the end of the world goes in the book of Daniel as well. It's how the story goes in the prophet Isaiah, and in the book of Revelation, and the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of Mark. The end of the world is old news for Christians. We have heard this story before, and we know how it ends. What seems like it will be the end of the world is only a beginning for God. What seems like it will be the end of the world is only a beginning for God. No matter what terrible, dire straits the people of God have gotten themselves into through the years, God has worked in their need. The people of Israel were enslaved by a Pharaoh who seemed intent on working them to death. God could work with that. And in one generation, a people who did not know what freedom was had become a nation. A few centuries later, Israel was conquered by Babylon and forced to serve their conquerors in exile. God could work with that. And a people who had only known a holy land learned that God was everywhere, everywhere, not just in Israel. God took on human flesh and learned that people will sooner kill a good man than listen to hard truths. God could work with that. God could work with that. And we learned that unyielding death will bend and break before God breaks God's promises. The end of the world is an old story. And as Christians, we've got a secret. We know how the story ends. Because the end of the world is only a beginning for God. So we do not need to succumb to despair when we see reports of record-breaking heat or failed crops or greenhouse gases building and building and building. We do not need to despair that the world will become so flat, hot, and crowded that starvation becomes the norm and all-out war against our neighbors is the only way to see that we get enough. Now, don't be mistaken. Don't be mistaken. Refusing to believe that we are doomed is not the same thing as being in denial of the danger we face. Denial engenders apathy, true, but despair births only malaise. As Christians, We do not act out of denial nor out of despair, but rather out of faith. We act out of faith that the fate of humanity will not be degradation and death. That isn't how the story ends. God has promised us a world where there will be enough for everyone. There will be a restored creation where we will not hurt or destroy on all of this, God's holy mountain that we call earth. There will be long life and prosperity and health for all people, not just the wealthy and the fortunate. Sound unlikely? Sound like it's too much for us to do on our own? Well, you're right about that. It is too much to do on our own. To build a new creation is far more than we could ever do on our own, but we aren't working on our own. When we work to restore creation and feed our brethren, when we do that work, Almighty God is working alongside us. And we know that we will be successful because what we cannot finish, God will complete. Yes. People are afraid that the world is coming to an end. Slowly, perhaps. But people are afraid. And so Christians must, as we must every generation, we must tell the story of the end of the world. We must tell the story of the apocalypse, because there is an apocalypse written every generation that faces grave trials. The book of Daniel was written for a nation under siege. And so Daniel contains apocalyptic visions of beasts, some like bears with 10 horns, others like rams with iron hooves, trampling and destroying all that they can be seen. Beasts which are then plucked up and placed before the throne of God to be judged for their rampages. The book of Revelation was written to a people under threat of annihilation and contains apocalyptic visions of angels and trumpets and sealed scrolls and bowls full of wrath and beasts speaking blasphemy and a dragon poised to devour the whole world before the Lamb of God appears, shining like the sun and bringing a new Jerusalem. If there were a new apocalypse written today and added to the Bible, I think it might sound something like this. It would be for a people under threat of collapsing under the weight of our own prosperity. Today's apocalyptic vision would be of a great beast, a beast skinned in coal and metal, drinking rivers dry and breathing smoke that poisons the earth and chokes out the stars, and the beast would be served by a vast army named Error and Apathy that was building every day, brick by brick, a mighty furnace, a furnace that would surround the whole earth and bake the people of God alive like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there would arise out of the cities and towns in every corner of the world a faithful people, people who would dismantle the furnace and disperse Error and Apathy. And they would not be an army. They would not be an army because they would not know the words of war. But they would be a holy people, marching under a banner that reads, "The last shall be first." And at the head of the column, walking before them, would be one who looked like a carpenter, one like a carpenter who had learned the secrets of crafting lumber into trees, one who had healing in his hands, one like a child of humanity whose true name is, "I am who I am, and I will be who I will be, and I will do as I will do." The Ancient of Days, the one whose world it is, has come back. What kind of world do we baptize these children into? We baptize them into God's world. And we can welcome them into God's world with joy. Hallelujah.